Coming up on this episode of the Retirement Pathfinder, we got a special edition of the show for you today. We've actually pulled some of our favorite mailbag questions from past episodes that are still very relevant today and wanted to pull them all into this episode and share them with you. We'll be talking about tax laws, talking about pensions for federal employees, what kind of service or expectations should you have for your financial advisor, and traveling in retirement. Is it okay to spend a little bit of money? We'll talk about that next.
In order to retire successfully, you'll need vision. You'll also need a plan to execute that vision. Welcome to Retirement Pathfinder with Barbara Lane and Phil Gusky. On today's show, we'll give you the tools you need to navigate unique challenges you'll face in retirement. It's time to chart your financial future. Retirement Pathfinder starts now.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on the show today. As I mentioned, we have a special edition of the Retirement Pathfinder for you today. We're going to open up the mailbag, which we'll do in just a minute. Again, if you have questions for Barbara and Phil, we'd love to hear from you. Always appreciate the feedback we get here on the podcast. But you can call 815-399-9806 for any specific scenario you might have in mind that you want to talk through with Barbara and Phil and the team there at Pathfinder Wealth Management. But again, if you want to schedule a meeting too, the best place to start is pathfinderchat.com. You can pick out a time to get on Barbara and Phil's schedule there. Again, go to pathfinderchat.com. All right, let's dive into it. Here it is, a special edition with questions we pulled, some of our favorite questions from past episodes. All right, here's a question for Mark. I was under the impression that the tax laws from a few years ago would mainly benefit rich people, but I'm the definition of middle class, and it appears my taxes were a lot lower again this year than they were a few years ago. Do you think I did anything wrong?
That is a great question, Mark, because I've been waiting to go over some statistics about Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Well, you likely didn't do anything wrong at all, because most taxpayers had a decrease. In fact, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act lowered taxes for individuals throughout income groups, in spite of what you've heard that the Tax Reduction Act only benefited the rich, which just isn't true. Well, according to taxfoundation.org, the Joint Committee on Taxation prepared an analysis of the TCJA's from now on through the rest of this question. I'm just going to refer to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act as the TCJA. They did an analysis of the TCJA's impact, focusing generally on how it impacted taxpayers in 2019 relative to prior law. The report shows that the TCJA cut taxes for individuals across all income groups, including by more than $500 for almost half of taxpayers. The act reduces aggregate tax liability across all income groups by an estimated $259 billion relative to prior law. So, for example, the group of taxpayers making between $30,000 and $40,000 in 2019 paid an estimated $5.4 billion less, a 13.5% reduction compared to prior law. And the TCJA reduces the average tax rates for all taxpayers by an estimated 1.7% in 2019. I looked at all of the different income groups, but I'm not going to share those in this call here. Overall, only 5.5% of taxpayers saw an increase in 2019. The TCJA reduced 2019 liabilities by at least $100 for more than 65% of taxpayers and by more than $500 for 48% of taxpayers. And Phil, you and I have seen many of our clients coming in with, well over $1,000 in savings in their taxes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, for our listeners, I wanted to take this one step further, because some of you may be thinking, well, what happens to the economy when tax rates are decreased? Is the government being cheated out of revenue? Well, not exactly. In fact, it's quite the opposite. According to Heritage.org, Daniel Mitchell, a senior fellow in political economy, wrote a piece on tax reduction and the economy and said that there's a distinct pattern throughout American history. When tax rates are reduced, the economy's growth rate improves and standard of living increases. People feel incentivized to work. That's why.
So right. There's absolutely.
Additional labor. And for instance, history tells us that tax revenues grow and rich, quote unquote, taxpayers pay more tax when marginal tax rates are reduced. Conversely, periods of higher tax rates are associated with subpar economic performance and stagnant revenues. I'm going to go over just a couple things here, a couple points, because I think they're important. One, lower tax rates do not mean less tax revenue. A little history: in the 1920s, tax rates were slashed dramatically from over 70% to less than 25%. Personal income tax revenues increased substantially from $719 million to $1.16 billion in 1928, an increase of about 61%. Treasury Secretary Alan Andrew Mellon back then states the history of taxation shows that taxes which are inherently excessive are not paid. It's because high rates put pressure on the taxpayer, the higher income taxpayer, of course, to remove money from productive businesses and to dump that money into tax-exempt bonds and other sources equivalent. And the second thing I wanted to mention is the rich pay more when incentives to hide income are reduced. And the tax cuts, again, of the 1920s, the share of tax burden for those making $50,000 and up in those days, that was considered high income, climbed from 44% in 1921 to 78% in 1928. So in other words, those in high incomes back then paid 78% of the tax burden. The Kennedy tax cuts, those making over $50,000 a year, again, high incomes, tax revenue climbed by 57% between 1963 and 1966. Reagan tax cuts. Reagan proposed sweeping tax rate reductions during the 1980s. By the way, Reagan's tax cut was the greatest in history, greatest tax reduction in history, greater than in the 1920s and greater than the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, too, by the way. Total revenues climbed, get this, by 99.4% during the 1980s. The taxes paid by the top 10% in 1981 jumped from 48% in 1981 to 57% in 1988. So the top 10% paid 57% of the tax burden. So, you know, it's I wanted to go over that because, you know, we've dispelled a couple of those myths about the majority of taxpayers not benefiting from the Tax Reduction Act, and they did. And history tells us that tax revenues grow and rich, quote unquote, taxpayers pay more when marginal tax rates are reduced, which means lower income citizens bear a lower share of the tax burden costs.
Well, you know, not to get political here, Barb, but during the Reagan regime, there was a fellow named Arthur Laffer that was his economist. He was a primary economist. He created something called the Laffer curve that basically explains exactly what it is you just described. And so that's very important. But, you know, the other point I wanted to make was that we probably, since the Tax Reduction Act of 2017, we've probably done, I don't know how many seminars on taxes and retirement, maybe 50?
Oh,
56, maybe more.
Oh, my goodness. Since the Tax Reduction Act, because we've been doing these for 5 years.
Yeah. And so
at least.
Yeah, maybe 100. I haven't kept count. But one of the things that I think we've only found one or two people in all those classes that really understood the benefit of the Tax Reduction Act and what that did for them. And it really is kind of, you know, surprising to hear that. But quite frankly, it's not been promoted in the media. It really has not. And so as a result, and once they find out about this tax law change, they're a little bit miffed and that they have not really been educated properly about how this particular tax law and others pertaining other laws in that law could help lower their taxes.
You know, it's and obviously too, Phil, it's because, you know, what they heard on media that it only benefited the rich and that, you know, according to history and statistics here, it's just not true.
Hey there, just a quick break from the podcast for a moment to tell you how Barb and Phil are assisting clients every day in the office with some effective tax savings opportunities under the latest Secure Act 2.0 legislation. If you want to find out how much you could save, give them a call and schedule a free 15-minute initial consultation. Call 815-399-9806 or go to pathfinderchat.com. That's pathfinderchat.com and schedule your visit with just a few clicks. We'll also put the contact info in this episode's show notes. Now, back to the show.
Let's move on to one from June. She says, I'm a federal employee. I'll have a nice pension when I retire next year, but I'm wondering about the money in my TSP. Should I keep it invested there or should I move it somewhere else?
Well, that is a very good question, June. And I'm going to give you six considerations here. And 6 points. So first of all, number one, you do have four choices. You can keep some or all of your savings in your TSP. You can transfer assets to a new employer plan if you're still working and you're still in that environment. You can roll over your assets to an IRA, or you can cash out your balance. Now, cashing out is rarely a good idea. If you're under 59 and a half, you have a penalty and you have to pay tax on that distribution. Secondly, if you choose to roll over your assets to an IRA, you can choose either a traditional or a Roth. A traditional IRA, you would have no taxes due. A Roth IRA, you'll have to pay taxes. You want to talk to a financial professional before making this move. And number three, I would say think twice before you do an indirect rollover. A direct rollover, you instruct the TSP to send assets directly to a new plan or to an IRA, and you never handle the money. With an indirect rollover, the tax consequences are significant because they're required to withhold taxes. And if you're younger than 59 and a half, you'll have an additional 10% penalty if, here's the key word, if paperwork is not done properly for that. Number four, beware of free or no fee claims. Even if there are no costs associated with the rollover itself, there are going to be fees somewhere. And understand that for ongoing management of your account, there will be some cost. And I'd encourage you to see what that fee is. Don't shy away from paying something for investment management. You want to pay something because you want the advice. Some firms are investment management only. That's just one piece of the puzzle. Many people that we talk to and we know the financial firms around here, that is all that they do is just the investment management. But you also have to consider income planning, estate planning and protection, tax planning, and those are all equal parts to a retirement plan. Number five, compare investment options. An IRA allows you to select from a broader choice of investment options than an employer plan. In a TSP, the fund choices are very limited. I've seen those plans and I have clients that have had TSPs. So whether IRA options are attractive or not depends on how satisfied you are with your TSP choices. Talk to a financial professional so that they can explain the difference to you. And lastly, I would say your age matters. If you leave your job between 55 and 59 and a half, you may be able to take penalty-free withdrawals from the TSP. And this is something to talk to a financial professional about again. Because of this option, you don't want to do this alone because the way in which you take the money and the period of time is very specific. Reach out to us at pathfinderchat.com. You can schedule a 15-minute call. We'd love to talk to you about this.
Most of the people I've talked to, Barb, with who've had TSP in the past, you know, they were kind of concentrated on the idea that it was really very low cost, right? Very, very low cost with regard to what they were being charged during the time that they had the accounts. And so, you know, we have to kind of make them aware of the fact that there is more to the planning process post-retirement than just saving on cost.
True.
And so that's a matter of really informing them as to what other traps there might be along the way that they need to be aware of. And so that could be money well spent, even just to sit down and talk to somebody for a little bit, find out what some of those traps are.
That and, you know, what are they looking for retirement advice when they retire? I mean, they've got a plan there, but, you know, then they comes time for required minimum distributions. They, you know, are they on their own?
Well,
you know?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think so. I think most people would want to sit down and look eyeball to eyeball at somebody across the table. And they have a sense of really trust and establishing that relationship that they need to fall back on in the event that they need the help.
Yeah, absolutely. Figure you're retired for a good 30 years, and those plans, any plans actually are employer sponsored plans are set up for the employee. So when you die, then now your heirs have to deal with your previous employer, which might not always be the best option.
Right.
You have to seek out the best option for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. What we call post-mortem planning with the family. Exactly right.
You know the stock market is unpredictable, but did you know that volatility can wreak havoc on your retirement savings if you're not prepared? Don't leave your future to chance. Let Pathfinder Wealth Management help you navigate these turbulent waters. With over 70 years of combined experience and a fiduciary responsibility since 1996, they have the expertise to guide you through market ups and downs. Barbara Lane and Phil Gusky are dedicated to educating clients and empowering you to make informed decisions. To get in touch, book a 15-minute chat with them today by visiting pathfinderchat.com and take control of your retirement plan. Don't let market volatility derail your future. Visit pathfinderchat.com or visit the link in the description of today's show.
Next one comes in from Rourke, who writes in. It says, my financial advisor seems to do a good job of managing my investments, as far as I can tell, but we never talk about other things like Social Security or life insurance or legacy plans, which are all things I feel that I should be getting advice on. Is this typical?
That's a very good question, Rourke, and you cannot believe how many times we're asked that. So limited advice is so common. We teach a class called Taxes and Retirement, and almost every single person we meet says the same thing. It is typical to not get anything but investment advice from your advisor, but it doesn't have to be. So at our firm, Pathfinder, we decided long ago to be holistic in our planning. So a client's estate plan is equally as important as their investment plan, because if you can make them a good return on their investment during their retirement years, what good would it do if they can lose half of their estate to probate costs upon death? So we focus on all areas of retirement, including investment planning, estate planning, tax saving opportunities, retirement income plans, including when to take Social Security, and protection of your estate from catastrophic illness. There are a couple areas that we have strategic partners with, because one of those is healthcare. Well, need I say more about the complexity of that alone? Well, when we looked at the areas that we provide for our clients and we periodically review what we can add or do better, and then we come up with this area several years ago of tax savings. That's about 3 years ago. And when we teach a one-hour course on taxes and retirement, we've got a full room. Everyone wants to know how to save money on taxes. But as far as for Social Security, we see people that are not aware of claiming options, that if they don't take them, they're going to miss out on them. This has to do with married couples. There's a lot to Social Security. So Rourke, give us a call. You can work with an advisor that will encompass all areas of financial planning, especially retirement planning. Let us know what you're looking for, and either Phil or I would be glad to have you and to have a discussion with you about your needs.
Yeah, Barb, in the old days, you know, our parents' years, it used to be they'd have a stockbroker, a banker, and a tax preparation person, you know, and they never talked to each other, obviously. Yep. But today, because everything is so interconnected, you know, taxes will be, depending on what type of investments you have, could be higher or lower. The amount of distributions you have to make out of your retirement plans can be modified. And so now we're talking taxes, you know, when we're actually managing the portfolio. So it all, it's what we call a holistic approach. In other words, mm-hmm. we need to put it under one umbrella, and we need to be speaking all these different languages, so to speak, to make sure that the client comes up with the right combination of outcomes they're looking for.
Yeah, because most firms do nothing but investment advice. That's it. They're investment firms, and they give investment advice. But once you have a portfolio mix, then what's the need for, what's the advice from that point on? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess would be my question.
All right, we have one more on the podcast today before we close it out. It came in from our friend Deborah, who asks, I want to have a lot of fun and do a lot of traveling when I retire, but to do what I want to do, I'll need to have an income in retirement that's higher than my income while I'm working. Would that be irresponsible?
I love that, Deborah. That is awesome. It sounds like you've done some planning, or you know, that you certainly know what you want to do in retirement. It sounds like at any rate, you're going to have fun. So that part of it, I love it. It's a great goal. And by asking this question, it's not irresponsible. Again, the unknown. So, you know, the questions are your age. If you're close to retirement, depending on what you've saved and other sources of income in retirement, like Social Security, a pension, is it possible to do what you want to do? If you're young, well, you can have plenty of time to save for what you'd like your lifestyle to be. Let's say if you're 30s, 40s, you know, in other words, what do you want to do when you retire? And how much have you currently saved? Then it requires some back engineering to determine what you need to save between now and retirement, considering things like taxes, growth, inflation. Now, when I say it isn't irresponsible to ask that question, that means do the math. See a qualified retirement specialist, but you want to make sure you're on track. That would be with an income plan. No matter how far out that is, it's an actual plan that's going to show you if you can spend what you want to spend or if there is, in fact, a shortfall. If you're doing this planning early enough, Deborah, it is every bit possible to have a higher income in retirement than during your working years, but you have to have a solid plan on how to get there, and you have to be diligent about what to put away. It's a good question. We'd be happy to talk to you for 15 minutes. Reach out to us at pathfinderchat.com.
You know, Barb, everybody would be a millionaire if they just lived long enough, right?
Yeah. And so, if you, true.
Yeah. You know, because really time is on your side. If you live to 125 or 140 years of age, of course, you could be a millionaire by that time. But it's interesting to know that today people are retiring with more income in retirement in their retirement years than they were making while they were working, and for a lot of different reasons, pensions and putting money away in 401ks and so forth.
Required,
so it's possible.
Distribution, sure.
Absolutely, it is.
All right, that will do it for us here on the Retirement Pathfinder. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the podcast. We'd always encourage you to send in your questions. If you want to be featured on a future episode, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you just have a question that you want to ask Barbara and Phil directly, you can do so by going to pathfinderchat.com, pick out a time to meet with Barbara and Phil there. And boom, you're off and running. So thanks again for listening to the Retirement Pathfinder. We'll talk to you again soon.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.